If you've never sat down and read the Acts of the Apostles, then I encourage you to take your Bible and spend some quality time with this book before the end of the Easter season. It really is the adventure story of the early church. And everything that makes a story great is found there. Conflict, betrayal, joy, persecution, flight, you name it, you can find it in the book of Acts. Just the exploits of Paul and Barnabas alone can keep you on the edge of your seat. Now, for some reason, the pericope appointed for today picks up with the words, "They preached the gospel in that city." And if you don't read the first part of the chapter, you can actually kind of miss how incredible this second part is. Paul and Barnabas were in Derbe, which seems to have been rather uneventful. And I'm sure Paul and Barnabas were grateful for a boring time, given what happened in Lystra, where they had just been before. In Lystra, the first place they go back to in this part of the chapter that the church appoints for us today. In Lystra, several kind of crazy things happen to them. The pagan priest of the city watch as Paul heals a man who had been lame from birth. A man they had known his whole life couldn't walk. And then all of a sudden could walk. "The gods have come down to us in human form." And they think Barnabas is Zeus and Paul is Hermes. Now, had Paul and Barnabas been the shadier sort of men, they would have milked this for all it was worth. They could have become rich and famous overnight. But they didn't take the bait of temptation to fame and fortune. We too are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, they cried out. Now, you might think that the stirred up crowds might have actually listened to them, but they didn't. And instead, dragged bulls in front of them to sacrifice to them and kept trying to crown them with the reeds of victory. The text doesn't tell us if any bulls had their throats slit before Paul and Barnabas could stop the heathen carnage, but I have this image in my mind of the two men stepping through entrails and bull parts as blood flowed through the city, as the two men were thinking, "Thank God Jesus came to free us from all of this." Right? But it didn't last too long, because the other religious group in the area, the Jews, were having none of this enthusiastic pagan extravaganza. And in order to protect the honor of the one true God, they came in droves from Antioch and Iconium to drag Paul out of the city and stone him. And the miracle is, they thought they had done their job well enough. As they saw Paul's blood commingle with the blood of bulls, thinking, well, this is the end of that nonsense. Who knows where Barnabas was? Did he run away to get help? Was he just in the right place at the right time? Was he cowering in fear somewhere? The text doesn't say. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. I want you to remember this when you've had a bad day at the office, right? Or you're too timid to speak up with pride at being a Christian. Remember Paul and Barnabas. Their message was not only consistent, but they certainly practiced what they preached. The gospel is good news, but be ready to suffer for it. Note that this was not the victim persecution complex. They weren't whining on social media about the persecution of Christians because somebody pressed the thumbs down button on a post about Jesus, right? Paul had literally and miraculously escaped death moments after being hailed as a god. You know, there's a reason why I think we need to read and reread the Acts of the Apostles. Every day, in our own day and time, Christians are experiencing the same kind of persecution that was visited upon Paul and Barnabas. And yet the church still grows and thrives in this kind of impossible environment. But you know, often we get so caught up in our own drama that we lose perspective. We obsess over what are, in the grand scheme of things, relatively small and nothing in comparison. That is why a vivid sense of mission and the suffering of others is a necessary antidote to the poison of getting stuck in our own head. Now, I'm the first to confess that I myself am just as likely to get bogged down like this. Okay? And I can get awfully self-righteous when I see certain things in the life of the church. And I think, really? Seriously? This is what you're complaining about when people are being murdered on a daily basis for the mere fact of being Christian? Get some perspective, right? But the Lord is kind and merciful. Much more kind and merciful than I am. And thank God for that, because I'm in need of that mercy and kindness as much as all of us. But I still think that at night, when we examine our consciences, we need to also compare ourselves to Paul and Barnabas and ask ourselves, am I going to be able to enter the kingdom of God because I encountered real hardships today and endured them joyfully for Him? Paul and Barnabas sailed to Antioch after all of this. When they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. They shared their experience and how God had worked through that experience. You know, nowadays we live in this weird world where people want to share this idealized, image-perfect vision of themselves online and then wonder why narcissism and obsessive-compulsive behaviors are on the rise, right? Or some actually even invent mental illnesses for themselves that they don't actually have, to demand everyone cater to their studied fragility. But nobody wants to come to church and calmly share what is really going on in their hearts. To share what is really going on in their hearts and their minds with other believers in a safe space, and at the same time allow themselves to be challenged, corrected, and prayed with and over. There's so many stories of quiet heroism, of perseverant overcoming and grace renewing what was in need of healing in this very parish and in so many other places where Christians gather. I know that they're known to God, but might not sharing our stories with honesty and hope embolden others to receive the gifts of God as well? The door of faith is easily opened. So why do we keep it so firmly shut out of fear?